Welcome to Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news, movie reviews, and the occasional rumor, with your hosts, Todd Vandenberg and Rob Steele.
And coming up in this week's show, credit stingers, Dragon Balls, and Dumbledore's sexuality. But, you know, I don't have any new sexual harassment news, which makes it all kind of weird. But first, just to further complicate Todd's emotions, because that's what we've done this week, Lee Val is here to help us talk about, if nothing else, the possibility that Sony Pictures might get sold off, which has been the big financial news for the entertainment world this week, because their chief executive, oh boy, Kaz Hirari, or something like that, stepped down and was replaced by their chief financial officer, Kenichiro Yoshida. I think I got those names right.
Anyway, yeah, good job.
So who do you think is going to be buying Sony Pictures other than Disney just so they can get Spider-Man back?
Say, of course it's going to be Disney. Why wouldn't it be Disney?
I had one job, which was to talk about how beautiful Evangeline Lilly was, according to the outline, and I was more than happy to do that. Now I got put on the spot about Sony Entertainment, so I'm just here now so I don't get fined, basically.
Apart from Disney, is there anyone else? I mean, I don't know that Paramount is up for something like this.
No, I think it'd be more likely just some, you know, investment company. Maybe Warren Buffett wants a new toy, you know, something like that. I mean, Disney is the obvious. And please, that would be lovely.
Bought by 20th Century Fox. Wait, what?
Exactly.
It's something I hadn't really given much thought about until this article popped up and thought I'd throw it out to you guys. Something
maybe
else.
Searchlight. The Searchlight wing has really taken off. Maybe it'll buy the rest of Sony.
So yeah, this has the potential to alter the face of entertainment as we know it, which is a segue, because I use the word alter, leading to the past tense altered and the word carbon, which had nothing to do with the rest of it. But that's something Todd's been watching, is altered carbon, which is something I'll admit I know nothing about this.
They're all carbon units. Altered Carbon is a book, science fiction, came out 10, 15 years ago. Excellent book. And Netflix decided to make a series of it. The reviews are kind of interesting. A lot of them are just saying, oh, it's a Blade Runner ripoff. Which, no, not really, because it really doesn't have anything to do with those plot lines other than it's set in the future and it's bright and sparkly and very neon-ish. That's a smart move, because that's kind of an established thing people expect in their future scenes now, because how many movies do we have now set in the future that have lots of neon? Like most of them, seems like. Yeah, either that or they're all gray. I mean, that's kind of the only palette that's out there. So I would rather see the bright, sparkly one. But the premise basically is that you can be, as they say, re-sleeved. They can take your consciousness, pop it out, goes in a little stack, gets slammed in the back of your neck, kind of like a tattoo in the back of a neck as if you're a bishop, and you can go into a new body. So basically, you can be immortal. And this is a soldier who has had this done to him. And the last time he was running around was 250 years ago. So now he's back in the world. Of course, it's a little different from what he expects. And he's basically owned by this corporate.
Do they have flying cars yet?
Mega Beast. Yes, they do have flying cars.
Ooh.
But they don't make that cool little Jetsons sound, which, God, they got to add that in. I don't care if it's just a sound effect. I mean, for the real flying cars when they come. And he has to solve this guy's murder. Yes, he is hired by a person to solve his own murder. The guy who hired him is still alive. But because of the resleeving, he actually was murdered and backed up, basically. So he's trying to figure out who killed him. It goes on. It's like a film noir. It's this very complex murder mystery. Has great characters. Joel Kinnaman is the lead. There's been a little bit of backlash because the character's name is Takeshi Kovacs. He's of some Asian descent. Well, originally he is, but the sleeve he's in now isn't. And that's an established thing in the books that he changes bodies occasionally. So enough of the complaints about the whitewashing, I think. I think it's great. I think it's terrific. I don't see it as a ripoff at all. The book really didn't have anything to do with Blade Runner. It's definitely worth watching. Like I said, I believe it's 10 episodes. I've seen the first three, and it's getting more and more interesting as it goes along. Very good stuff.
The way it's supposed to.
Yeah, how about that?
What a concept. And actually, now that you mentioned it, that is the, in the back of my mind, I knew about a series with that plot line. Couldn't for the life of me remember the name of it, so I haven't watched it yet. Now I've got something to do this afternoon instead of watching the Super Bowl. And it's billions of hours of pregame.
I was going to say, what you do this afternoon is watch the pregame. What you do tonight is watch the Super Bowl. And then up until 2 in the morning, you watch the postgame to let you know what you just saw.
Right. So we'll actually get to the interesting part of this Super Bowl in a minute, but I wanted to get to the thing with Facebook and Black Panther before we get to that, because there's a Black Panther thing that ties into the Super Bowl. So we're just going to, it's like an addition problem we've got. Anyway, there's apparently a group that has been going into Rotten Tomatoes and lowering the score of the Black Panther movie, and Facebook caught them and banned the group. Again, Todd, you know more about this than I do because you sent me this one.
Kind of. I think it was more that they planned to, because I don't know how you could lower the score when the movie hasn't come out yet. So, but it's basically the same group who they have sworn vengeance against Marvel because they think Marvel sabotaged the ratings of their beloved DC movies, as opposed to the fact that a lot of those DC movies just suck. And for whatever reason, they can't figure that out. So they have taken credit for lowering the Rotten Tomatoes score, obviously not by critics, but the viewer score for The Last Jedi, because Disney owns that, of course. So,
right.
Well, we'll get you. If that's true, that sucks. And also, how childish can you possibly be?
I was thinking the same thing.
Like, oh, you don't like what I did? Well, we'll get you. It's like, oh, my God. Really?
I actually have started preferring the DC characters to the Marvel characters just because of, you know, the way the books go and the TV series and stuff. But I'll admit that the Marvel movies are considerably better.
Yeah, the movies
but
are much
no
better.
At no point have I ever thought of going in and sabotaging things like this. That's just,
and why would you? I mean,
I don't know.
Why do you have that much time on your hands?
Yeah, I'm assuming this little consortium, they're all like somewhere in the fourth or fifth grade. What a bizarre thing to do. And what's sad is that that actually can impact a film's business. I mean, obviously the critic score they can't affect unless they're actually hacking, but that's not what they're supposedly have done. They've just artificially lowered the viewer score. And that matters too. People click on Rotten Tomatoes and they'll say, oh, I don't care what the critics think. Well, what does the audience think? And it's like, wow, it's only 50%. I don't know about that.
Maybe this group is led by The Rock, who's trying to justify his complaint.
Exactly. Yeah, that could be it. What a bizarre thing to do. And it is a harmful thing to do. So I'm thinking if someone goes online and brags that they deliberately tried to sabotage your rating, and I'm as litigious as Disney is, let's sue a preschool because they put a Mickey Mouse mural up, and they have done that. I cannot believe that they have not gone after this group and tried to track them down. And personally, I don't see how they possibly couldn't. And sue them. Why not?
Yeah,
I would. I mean, especially if I'm Disney. My God,
I don't really believe in suing people, but I mean, if there's a reason to sue. You know, slanderous activity seems to be the case, especially if it could hurt your movie.
Right.
It hasn't even come out yet.
Now, I don't think it's going to hurt Black Panther at all, but still.
No. It's not going to do anything to Black Panther.
But I mean, it's, no, it may not. I mean, but if there's two people who read it and like, I don't want to see it because Miss Peabody's fourth grade class had this group on Facebook who really disparaged the film. Then, you know, I mean, anything, if it's, you know, and movies today, if one person misses it, that's $100 million in revenue that you've just lost.
Now, it's one thing if someone goes online and says, oh, this movie's terrible. I mean, that happens all the time. Right. But to artificially lower a score by resetting IP addresses and flooding a rating system, that's going a little bit beyond that. So
that's someone with entirely too much time on their hands.
Yeah,
it's Tommy Shaw. That's who it is. No,
that's someone who just wrote a script and is letting their computer vote for them thousands of times.
Are you saying Tommy Shaw is waiting for that Yankees reunion? He has nothing else to do except for, I'm going to change his IP address.
Well, the movie they were going to go after was the Black Panther movie. And there's a commercial that ties Black Panther with Lexus that's going to be in the Super Bowl later today. Although it's already online and you can watch it whenever you want. Starting, I think it was Tuesday, this went online, which to me utterly confuses the concept of a Super Bowl commercial if you can watch. I think I've seen all of them already.
Mm-hmm.
So why pay $5 million for a Super Bowl ad? Meanwhile, back at the Black Panther Lexus commercial, I don't know if either of you have seen this, but there is a line in this commercial about the car that says, you can experience awe-inspiring performance. Now, that line comes at the same time the Black Panther is hanging off the side of the car and using his claws to help the car complete a turn. So I'm wondering, to experience this awe-inspiring performance, do you actually have to have the Black Panther add-on that might come with the car? Because did you not watch the commercial when you made this? Because that seems like a hideous place to put that line and show that image.
It's genius, and that's why they get paid the big bucks. I have intentionally not watched any of the Super Bowl. And there's a place, gosh, where is it? It's even like ABC News or something, where you can just go, and it's CBS.
ABC, CBS, Sports. NBC have all got, CNN have got a place.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, I don't know, 30 commercials on this. But I don't want to watch the commercials beforehand because I want to kind of see what it is during the game, you know. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, what's the – and this is off your point of the Black Panther commercial. But what's the point of even having all these commercials like released prior to – and you're paying $5 million? I know you're going to have a bigger audience with the big game and not everybody's going to go online and watch the commercials. But still, I don't remember this many commercials ever happening before.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, I can see why competing networks are doing it because some people – actually tune into the game to watch the commercials, which is bizarre to me, but they do.
That's me. I haven't cared about the game in years.
And if I'm ABC or NBC and I don't have the Super Bowl this year, absolutely. If I can show those commercials so you're not tuning in, hell yes, I'm putting them online. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me that why they're doing it. Yeah, I'm with you, though, Lee. I'm not watching them because I want to watch them in the context of the game because for whatever reason, it's more fun or whatever.
Well, it seems like part of the contract would be, okay, I'm paying you this much money for this commercial that people are going to see for the first time. I don't want it being shown elsewhere. I mean, it seems beside.
I would think that'd be part of it.
Yeah, but I guess, and unless they're being pirated, which I've not heard any allegations of that, I guess they figure, hey, it's more exposure. So they're paying for people to watch it and they don't really care how they watch it. They just want them to watch it. So I assume that's what their thought process is like, hey, watch it Saturday night on ABC or stream it. I don't care as long as you get that impression of that you have to buy the special edition of the car that comes with the Black Panther so you can make that turn.
And I think the only other Super Bowl commercial things I've got, the only one I haven't seen is the trailer for Solo, which is apparently going to show up at some point during the Super Bowl. And there's a whole bunch of commercials that Tide is putting out this year. And I'm wondering if at any point, this doesn't need to be fine print. There needs to be a big freaking sign that says, stop eating the Tide Pods.
No. That's not what they're doing at all. It's in concert with Taco Bell's new fries.
Oh, silly.
That's part of the $5 package. You know, you get their nacho fries and two Tide Pods for $5. It's an awesome deal.
And Peyton Manning is in every commercial on the Super Bowl, from what I understand. Like, everyone.
I hope so.
Including his new great film, Quarterback Vacation. I wish I was making that up.
We'll get to that one eventually, I think. Just for lack of other movies at the time that it might come out. Anyway, another thing we might see, and this was actually just a trailer that came out, and I don't know if you guys saw the trailer for Ant-Man and Wasp.
I did. That's why I mentioned Evangeline Lilly. She looks super hot in there. I actually like the Hello Kitty ending of the trailer.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It looks, if it's as corny as it, if they make it intentionally as corny as the trailer is, I think it'll be good. If the trailer is better than the film, which is a possibility, then ugh.
I mean, they had some good lines in the trailer and some good visual effects. And yeah, apparently the Ant-Man is just going to be the silly section of Marvel.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that because, I mean, the whole thing, Ant-Man, I mean, you know, it is a very cool power. Yeah, but, you know, just the fact they call him Ant-Man, then he talks to ants. I mean, the way it plays out, it's actually a pretty cool set of powers, but still, it's a silly concept, like you said.
It's Paul Rudd, so they
totally understand. Yeah, and the fact that, and I just blanked out on the British director who had been working on this thing for 10 years. And then,
Christopher Nolan. No, I'm just...
Yeah, that's it, Christopher Nolan, exactly. You know who I'm talking about. Edgar Wright. The fact that they still did the Ant-Man film based on his story, and he still had part of his screenplay in there, you can see that to a large extent. I'm thinking almost all the funny stuff was from Edgar Wright. It was a hit, obviously. Did really well. Like you said, Paul Rudd. I mean, why would you not play towards that? Michael Pena, you know, you have to stay with that concept when you started out that way, I think. You know, just like they had Thomas the Tank Engine towards the end of the first one, and now we've got Hello Kitty. I mean, I think it's a great concept to have a lighter moment. I mean, look how well Ant-Man played in the Civil War film. I mean, he still was basically the comic relief, had some great action scenes, but he's still this goofball. And it's a great counterbalance to, you know, the darker things goings on in the Marvel world. DC film division would probably be smart to realize, oh, you know what? We could probably do something like that. And they kind of touched on it with The Flash a little bit, but they really need to go very heavily in that direction with The Flash.
Yeah.
And hopefully they will, but they probably won't because basically they don't seem to be able to find themselves inside of a paper bag, for God's sakes. unless Patty Jenkins is doing the heavy lifting. In that case, they can do great work. But
there was some bad news for Marvel this week, though. Stan Lee was rushed to, Cedars-Sinai Hospital with shortness of breath and an irregular heartbeat. But they say he's doing fine now, which unfortunately usually means he'll be gone within the next week.
Right. It does.
Now, the reason I said that, not because I want him to be gone, but it's kind of a reverse psychology thing. If I say that, yes, he's going to be gone within the next week, then he won't be, and he'll be around for the rest of the movies they're making. That's my plan.
I'm just curious how long it took to implant the arc reactor in his chest. So you know,
well, that's why we haven't seen him since.
You know, they did that.
He went in Tuesday or when he went in Wednesday night. So we've got another week until they're done with that.
That's what I'm saying. The price of palladium probably just skyrocketed too.
Then he'll be Iron Stan.
Iron Stan. That would be terrifying.
I'm just wondering how much money Cedars-Sinai makes, because, man, there's a lot of celebrities that go there for lots of things.
Yeah.
They must make a ton of money.
Maybe it's the only hospital in New York.
Maybe. Well, it's in Los Angeles, right?
Oh.
Was he in L.A.?
I think it's in L.A.
I don't keep track of where hospitals are. Cedars-Sinai, according to its website, which I just pulled up, doesn't have an address on it, you bastards.
A nonprofit in Los Angeles.
Maybe they should buy Sony Entertainment because they probably have enough money to do that.
Yeah,
and all the stars would end up going there anyway. It's actually a win-win for them.
It looks like it's big enough to house a studio.
It's huge, yeah.
So sure, why not? Other Marvel news that came out, and it's not exactly Marvel. It has to do with James Mangold, which... That just sounds like a porn name, doesn't it? Anyway, the guy who directed Logan and a couple of the other X-Men movies says he really, really hates the post-credit stingers, which is another porn name. Mm. He doesn't like the idea of setting up another movie. He says that if you have to have a post-credit stinger, that means you didn't end your movie properly. I completely disagree with that, because I think most of the movies ended fine, and then there's just bonus material, like an extra track on the DVD. But that's right. My thought. What do you guys think?
I agree with you, especially like in the first Avengers movie. Did the shawarma scene that need to be in the film? Would that add anything to the film itself? No. Oh. But was that a wildly entertaining scene? Yes, it's like it's a gift to sit there and wade through the 10 minutes of credits to see, you know, the 17th person who worked on some cabinetry for a set. You know, that's why they're there. I mean, he obviously can feel like, oh, well, if you don't like post-credit scenes, as in like in your next deal with Marvel, it's like, oh, refuse to have them in your film. See how that goes. You won't be working for Marvel again because that's what they do. So
not too well.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of an odd, I mean, I can see his point to some extent.
See his point, yeah.
But most of the times these post-credit scenes don't have anything to do with this film. And
right.
It takes you too much out of what you just watched to set up the next film. I think it's smart the way they've done that.
Yeah, I think within context, I think you guys both hit on it. I mean, you know, certain films obviously having that kind of thing. It's like, I mean, the Ironweed outtakes were great, but not every film is like.
I was thinking. Would these post-credit stingers have worked in something like the Bond movies? Because in the first series of Bond movies back with Sean Connery, it was Bond will be back in this movie.
Yeah, of course they would.
I think it would have worked nice.
And in a few of them, they have the little hint to the next thing. I mean, you might see Blofeld sitting there. You don't even see his face, but you see this guy sitting there petting a white cat. For the last scene of a film. That certainly would have worked. They just didn't have, the credits were so short, they didn't have time to have a post-credit scene or a stinger.
Yeah, they didn't mention everybody. It was just, Steve did this, Bob did this. Okay, that's the end of the credits. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people going, but I worked too. But yeah, short credits. but speaking of bonus material, segue. The Last Jedi, apparently... And this is something that I didn't realize. There's a novelization of The Last Jedi that's coming out in March that has incorporated the deleted scenes back into the story, which goes along with the Blu-ray release that's supposed to contain about 20 minutes of cut scenes.
Interesting.
You guys are from my generation. This is where, before the internet, this is where you got the spoilers from, because the books would come out on Tuesday, which means you've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday until the movie comes out to read the book for your spoilers. Apparently, I'm the only one who did that. Fine.
you are.
But
no, on the planet.
Yeah. What do you guys think about the putting the deleted scenes back into the book? Is that I think it's kind of an interesting idea. And, you know, you can do that with other movies, I guess.
Well, I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, the film scripts are typically 1 minute per page. So screenplay for a 2-hour movie is going to be 120 pages. That's a pretty damn thin book.
Yep.
So it makes perfect sense. I mean, you've got to flesh it out anyway, I would hope, other than just unless you're Tolkien and you just put in 16,000 random songs. Oh, my God, I hate those songs. Anyway, yeah, it makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't you do that? I mean, if nothing else... As long as it's publicized, people are going to think, oh, wow, that's cool. If those few people who still read on the planet, I get to read the deleted scenes. That's great. I think that's a very smart thing to do.
I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Lee's not going to read it at all. He doesn't care.
Have we lost Lee?
No.
Oh, he's just quiet.
He just doesn't care.
He doesn't read.
11:36 is my prayer time.
Oh, silly me. Well, you know, that's actually, I was trying to figure out a segue for that, but now I've got one. It's prayer time. Tom Hanks is supposed to be, has been cast as Mr. Rogers in the upcoming biopic of said children's TV star. Does that work for you guys?
I like Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers. I'm just not sure why there needs to be a Mr. Rogers film.
Well, I'm just hoping they include the part where he was a paid assassin for Disney. If they leave that part out, I'm out of it. But I could always read that in the deleted scenes of the book. So I'll look forward to it. Yeah, I think that's great. And I'm also with Lee. I'm not sure.
He did a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. And
he did.
Like the big speech he gave.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Congress or the Senate or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
About why we need PBS.
And I'm sure that will be, hopefully that will be the climactic scene. But I don't know. It's... yeah, I'm sure it'll be interesting, but...
I don't see it being a greatest hits, best picture thing.
Maybe
Blockbuster. There we go.
That's I don't see it making a lot of money, but yeah. You know, then again, is that the only reason to make movies? I mean, if they think they have something interesting to say, then yeah, they should make the movie. Is it with Tom Hanks playing it, I'm much more likely to watch it than I would be otherwise. Not that he's not an interesting person, but you know, I know like the behind the scenes stuff they did, and I know quite a bit of that, so I'm not really sure. It's like if I'm all that fired up to watch it. But with Tom Hanks playing him, yeah.
I always thought Mr. Rogers was a little bit creepy. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, to me, it was all the marionettes. The marionettes were creepy to me, honestly.
No, that's... Yeah. I'm not going to argue that. Those... Especially the... What was it? The one that ran the merry-go-round that wasn't a merry-go-round. It was like a museum or something.
Yeah.
And she was made of wood and was bitchy. That's all I remember about it. It was
from what I understand. Jeff Dunham is the one who's in charge of the marionettes on the Mr. Rogers film. So
I rescind my previous statement that I'll watch it.
All of a sudden, I have no interest in seeing it anymore.
And amazing. By the way, a quick thing, another connection to the Black Panther. Two things. Early estimates for opening weekend were 120. Now they're being pushed up to 150 million possibility based on
take that Facebook group.
And Rotten Tomatoes has released a statement stating that their team of security, network, and social experts continue to closely monitor our platforms. Any users who engage in such activities will be blocked from our site and their comments removed as quickly as possible. So they're really not into this either. So be interesting.
Good.
How this continues.
I have no segue into the next thing now. That's okay. I don't know. Black Panther is a movie in a series of movies, and this is also in a series. There we go.
Brilliant.
The next, what is it? Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, because it has to do with Dumbledore, and they've announced that the Dumbledore in the next movie is not going to be as gay as everyone wants him to be, which I find one of the most utterly bizarre things to even say about a character. J.K. Rowling announced that Dumbledore is really gay after the Harry Potter movies, and everyone went, oh, how horrible, apparently, for a fictional character to be gay. Who cares? But I'm thinking it kind of makes sense because this story takes place long before it became socially acceptable to be gay. So therefore, I'm not expecting him to be one of the characters from Will and Grace. All of a sudden, he's a guy. Who cares?
I thought you were going to say socially acceptable to be a fictional character.
It is not quite socially acceptable to be fictional yet. Although Donald Trump is trying because he seems remarkably fictional. I'm sorry, I got off subject. Do you guys care about how gay Dumbledore is? I don't, but it was a big thing this week.
Kind of sad there's not going to be any Jude Law, you know, nude scenes now, because that's kind of what I was looking forward to.
Ah, well,
he's playing Dumbledore, in case people don't know.
I in a way I don't care, because I don't care about this movie, because I've watched the first Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them and wasn't impressed at all. I thought it was just a really bad rehash and probably would have made $8 if it hadn't been tied into the Harry Potter universe. But I am kind of upset that this seems to me it's a response to backlash of, oh, how horrible, this person is a role model. You can't have to tone down the amount of gayness. It's like, and who's to say what wizard society would think of? Because that's a society. He's not in our society. He's in wizardry society.
Yeah.
So I personally think that's kind of pathetic. I think that's bowing to pressure from somewhere. Possibly could be Disney. To make this a more acceptable character, and I think that's pretty freaking pathetic. But like I said, I'm not going to watch it, so I don't care if they butch him up and make him John Wayne or he flounces about in feather boas like Hulk Hogan. Could care less which way they play it.
That's almost a good segue into Battle of the Sexes, isn't it?
Sure. Flouncing about.
There's no direction this week.
No, yeah, there's no direction this week. Yes, Battle of the Sexes, about the big match of the century, which was back in 1973. Is that correctly? I saw the movie, but you lived it, so.
That's correct. That's when, that's when Steve Carell and I last played tennis.
Bobby Riggs, who was, I believe, a two-time U.S. Open champion and had won at Wimbledon. He was quite an excellent tennis player, although at this point he was 55 years old. Doesn't mean you're dead, but also doesn't mean you really have no business challenging world-class players, regardless of their gender.
Hey, Roger Federer just won his most recent major, so I don't know. He's 63, I believe.
It seems like he is, doesn't it? My God. I think he was playing... He's playing doubles with Bill Tilden. Speaking of, anyway, Bobby Riggs was just a hustler. He could care less about women's rights or against it. He just saw an opportunity to make some money because according to the film, he was hanging out with his buddies and he made a comment about how, oh, my God, look at those women playing. I could beat them. And they said, oh, well, why don't you? So he issued a challenge. Originally, he wanted to play Billie Jean King. And Billie Jean lost a tournament to Margaret Court. Margaret Court took over the number one ranking, so he played Margaret Court instead. Margaret Court, for whatever reason, freaked out, played poorly, and Bobby Riggs kicked her butt on the court, which is, no pun intended, which is a weird thing. And yes, that actually happened. So next, it's up to Billie Jean King, and there was a huge amount of publicity about this. I remember watching this when this was on. It was live on ABC. Howard Cosell was the commentator for the match. This is
I cannot picture Howard Cosell announcing a tennis match.
Yeah, basically.
He used to do it often, actually. And I believe that's when he said, look at that little monkey run, when he was doing the tennis match.
He was talking about Rosie Casals, who was calling the match with him. But the movie is very, very good. Carell plays Bobby Riggs, and he's excellent in the film. Emma Stone plays Miss Billie Jean King, does an excellent job. It has a lot more to do, which I was surprised with, her sexuality, not Emma Stone's, Billie Jean King. You may not realize that she was a little more gay than Dumbledore. And
you're talking about Emma Stone.
Sure. And was just figuring this out at the time. But the movie deals a lot with that in her relationship with a young lady and her husband, and et cetera, et cetera. That was kind of the behind the scenes, which, of course, nobody knew at the time. And it came out several years later. So that's an interesting sideline that part of she was dealing with a lot of pressures at the time. It wasn't just this one match against Riggs. But it's a really, really good movie. Like I said, Carell is excellent. Emma Stone's excellent. I think she's a lot better in this than she was in La La Land, which, of course, you know.
Yeah.
The Oscars are kind of flaky sometimes, but anyway.
And both those actors, honestly, I mean, it says something about Steve Carell and how he's evolved, but both of them, I don't remember seeing them bad in anything in a long time.
I know. One of them. Yeah, Carell is excellent. I mean, if you haven't seen Foxcatcher, and probably most of the people listening to us haven't even heard of it, let alone seen it.
It's a comedy.
Yeah, it's a lovely comedy. he's excellent in that too. I mean, he is quite an actor. The Big Short, he's great in that. So he's definitely worth watching. And Riggs was a weird kind of comedic character in real life anyway. So I thought it was great casting to have Carell play him. Really good movie. Definitely recommend viewing Battle of the Sexes.
Which might be something I can watch this afternoon after I finish Altered Carbon. Because those will go together. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on something else, and there is no segue for this at all whatsoever. Todd knows that if there's a movie that says we're on again, off again, on again, off again, and you do that enough, screw it, you're banished from the show. This is the banishment of Lethal Weapon, because after I said Lethal Weapon 5 is going, now Richard Donner has said, no, apparently it isn't, but it did bring up an interesting point, which is why I just didn't kill it off last time. You're not going to be mentioned again on this show until you start filming. So moving on with this quote from Richard Donner, he said he wanted to do 5. The quote is, I'm ready to do 5. It's called Lethal Finale. It's very dark and we're all set to go. And Warner Brothers is doing their old fashioned tricks. Not Warner Brothers. There's a guy who runs the studio who's great, but they have these people in the legal department who do the negotiating in the most counterproductive way. They should be sent to a studio and work with the producers and directors and actors and learn what it takes to make a film and then negotiate. Now, this is about the people in the front office at Warner Brothers, and I'm wondering if it's because they have these people in the way we're not getting good DC comic movies.
Actually, the quote goes on to say, but it's just embarrassing and it's too bad because there's a wonderful writer named Carol Channing who wrote four for me.
Carol Channing is a hell of a writer. In her Eddie Izzard form. It's interesting if that couldn't be part of the issue with the DC movies, although they changed the head of the DC studio, like, at now with almost every film.
Yeah.
Which is kind of bizarre.
Not helpful.
Not helpful at all. If Lethal Finale, and who knows, maybe eventually it'll get made, is quote-unquote very dark, Riggs better commit suicide at the end of the damn thing. Actually, it'd be more fun if he commits suicide at the beginning and then someone else takes over. I mean, how can you say it's very dark and you've got a character who, a suicidal character, and doesn't eventually do that? Come on. Off himself, because that would guarantee we're not going to have Lethal Six.
Well, what's we're only getting this from Donner's point of view. Maybe the right. Legal is like, it's got Mel Gibson in it. It's not going to make any money, so we're not going to make this film.
Could be.
Potential exists. But so going from the DC thing onto other animated news, I suppose. Not that either of you care. Dragon Ball Super is ending in March, which ends the current run of a series that's not even translated into English completely yet. But it's still very popular. Anyway, they're finishing the series, which leads me to a reboot of another series, and I want to see if this is just as stupid as it sounds like to me. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are coming back again as another animated series on Nickelodeon. That's not the problem with it. The problem is that PETA is involved at all whatsoever, but much less. They're petitioning Nickelodeon to make the Ninja Turtles vegan.
PETA, by the way, has a Super Bowl commercial tonight. I'm not making that up.
For
awesome.
What?
Awesome.
I know that they're having one, but I haven't watched the commercial. You can actually watch it on that CBSSports.com, where they have all the rundown of the commercial, or a bunch of commercials on there. It's one of them.
Isn't PETA sponsoring Longhorn Steakhouse? Isn't that what they're doing right now?
Texas Longhorns. They really just hate Charlie Strong still.
This is Charlene, a cute little lamb. Do not eat her, PETA. Fine, whatever. Vegan Ninja Turtles, does that need to be a thing?
No.
Okay, good. In related news, they're also petitioning the people doing the Jeffrey Dahmer pick. They want him to be vegan, too. just because it makes as much sense.
Can I interject another Super Bowl thing? The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they are making a big push for this because they've had I'm not making this up. They've had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on press row for the last 2 weeks, or for the last this week at the Super Bowl, because John Clayton, formerly of ESPN, was making a joke about how he had his photo taken with them this week. So they've just been walking around doing that. And so he was like, I think I don't know any of their names, but I had my photo taken with them. So, yeah.
Ow. What?
big push for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's coming back.
It's coming back in a big way. I just want to touch base back on the Mel Gibson comment you made, Lee, talking about could be because he's starring and they don't want... Look back at his last movies. The last movie that's really a Mel Gibson film, so not counting Expendables 3 when he's one of a million people, or Daddy's Home 2, which he's one of four people. That's not a Mel Gibson flick. So the last real Mel Gibson flick is Edge of Darkness, which is 8 years ago now. Total worldwide made $81 million. The budget was $80
million. Yeah.
It was profitable. That win by one. It was a close game.
That could, except that doesn't include distribution and ads and everything else. So
picky.
Yeah. So the last movie he had that was really him, a headlining, lost money. And that was 8 years ago. That there could be a lot to that. So thank
potential
you,
exists.
And
unless they do
Jews,
Iron Week.
And the Jews run Hollywood. I mean, so.
spit take. Thank you.
You can edit that out, right, Rob?
Nice. I'll see what I can do.
And now he's leaving it in.
I'm fairly close to Dolly Parton, so we have the same kind of sentiments about that. I'm not going to go there. Stop me. Move on, please.
Despicable Me.
Thank you.
Wow, that fits.
I'm sorry. Did I say that wrong? I meant Despicable Lee at this point.
Despicable Lee.
the creators of Despicable Me are teaming with Nintendo to make a Super Mario Brothers movie. Which I think has to be better than the last Super Mario Brothers movie, but that would be by default.
I still have a fond spot for that film. Bob Hoskins can do no wrong. Of course, he was about the only thing that wasn't exactly wrong with that movie. And Leguizamo, he was good too. He was fun. They were fun. But yeah, it almost would have to be better. It would be better if they just put 8-bit animation up on the screen, probably. So
that would be boring and yet better. speaking of boring and, well, probably not going to be better. Do either of you guys watch the show Suits?
No,
on the USA Network.
To look it up and to see what you're talking about. Katherine Heigl, I guess, is coming back to replace. I didn't even know she was still acting because I haven't seen her in anything. And she's not a bad actress from what I can see. But is this a show you like?
Nobody wants to work with her.
Okay. Gotcha.
Oh. Now, Suits had some interesting news that they were going to be renewed for an 8th season, except the Patrick J. Adams, who is apparently the main character on the show, is not coming back. Which doesn't make any, because the premise of the show was that the character he played, whose name I have forgotten, because I watched the first couple episodes of it, where he plays a con man or something who has a eidetic memory, and he faked being a lawyer until he was caught by this guy who blackmailed him into being a lawyer, and that's the premise of the show. And now he's gone, so what's the point?
It's kind of like doing an Ironweed sequel without Jack Nicholson. I don't get it.
I don't know what maybe USA Today, gosh. Maybe the budget on it is so little, but it's still profitable for USA Network to make money on it. I don't know. I mean, isn't it where it goes beyond, if it goes beyond, and I'm not sure how syndication works with like something like USA Network, but if it goes beyond the 7th season, then it's all just gravy money from there. So maybe they just keep making series and it's profitable. I don't know.
I think it is something like that, yeah. Like once you hit that magic number, I don't know if it's 100 episodes or what it is. And obviously when it's a situation like this, it could be different too. But, you know, they'll sell it to somebody, you know, Netflix or Hulu or whatever, if they haven't already. So,
ION Television.
Seems
positively
entertaining.
Rerun. Ad nauseum.
Don't mock my ION, bro.
I have one story left. Do you guys have anything else to throw in the show?
Throw. Go Hawks. Really, just go Hawks. That's it.
Oh, dear.
It's your story.
Right. So it has to do with an artificial intelligence program that really doesn't make any sense. I don't know if you guys knew back during the Blu-ray HD DVD war, if you want to call it that, there was a feature that HD DVD had that I would have thought would have made this the winner, actually, where you could change things in the movies. Like the big example was one of the Fast and Furious movies, where there's a submenu where you can change the colors of the cars through the movie, which I thought that's kind of weird. But there's another algorithm or whatever, where you can upload a picture of yourself and all of a sudden you have been put in the movie. Whatever movie it is. And I thought that would be great for the porn industry. But I thought, you know, it's a nifty idea of how to keep things going in hard copy mediums like that.
Hard copy porn.
Thank you. Someone caught it. Yay. Anyway, someone has taken that concept and merged it with what they're calling an artificial intelligence program that, and I'm really hoping I'm reading this wrong, that decided to take Nicolas Cage and put him in a bunch of other movies like Raiders of the Lost Ark, replacing Harrison Ford, or replacing Sean Connery in Dr. No, which, and there's pictures of this where they have put Sean Connery in, and it's supposed to be an animated thing of Nick Cage replacing all these people in different movie roles. I will tell you that you probably want to stay away from Nick Cage as Gollum.
That's perfect.
Because, my God, does that not work?
Yeah, it totally works.
Neither does Nick Cage as Superman, clearly.
No. First thing I'm thinking of is I'm going to replace Barbra Streisand with Nick Cage in Hello, Dolly. I want to watch that right now.
And they did replace Princess Leia with Nick Cage.
Well, of course they did.
And I think this has got to be the least intelligent movie news I have seen in a long time. it looks horrible. And on that note, and on that terrible disappointment, see, I'm stealing from the Grand Tour guys now. That's probably the end of our show, unless you guys have anything else to throw in. Anything?
I've seen eight of the ten. Is there 10 Best Picture nominees?
Nine.
I've seen 7 of the 9, so I haven't seen Phantom Thread or Call Me By Your Name?
Call Me By Your Name.
Haven't seen those two. Did you guys talk about Best Picture last week?
Briefly.
Okay. Yeah, so I've seen all of them except for those two, which is a record for me. Usually I've seen like one or two of them. So I'm still hoping to see the last two. But I mean, there's a lot of smaller, quote unquote, smaller films they're all fantastic. I mean, it's a good year for movies as long as you aren't expecting like huge blockbuster films. There's been a lot of great films made this year, last year, 2017. Just throw that out there for people who hate movies. We think there, you know, if you don't have a big blockbuster on July 4th with Will Smith, it's a bad movie year. There's a lot of great films you guys should see.
in which case you think there's not been a good movie year for about 15 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, then. We'll be back next week with a more cohesive show, because this week...
Doubtful.
We don't need... Well, yeah. I blame our sponsor, the F7 Shoe. Someday we'll explain that joke, but... Tune in next week to hear an explanation that we're not going to give you. Good night, everybody. Happy Super Bowling.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed.
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that... He's gone.
Darn, that's the end.